Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to invite you to go to Genesis chapter 3 this morning. Let's try that again. Genesis chapter 3. This morning, I am going to start, like, I guess you could call it a mini-series, three messages, at least that's my plan right now. And I'm going to teach on the subject of doubt. I think we need to hear it right now. And particularly this morning, each one of these messages is going to have a different title. This morning's title is The Doubt Sower. The Doubt Sower. Now, I don't know if I'm going to do it today. I mean, I know I'm going to do it today. But what I was going to say is, I don't know if I'm going to do it today, then Wednesday night, I'll be preaching Wednesday night, and then next Sunday morning, or just do them all on Sunday morning, so you have to come find out, all right? Genesis chapter 3, I want to begin with verse 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle or crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden." Now, let me just stop for a minute. I believe this story. I don't believe this is typology. I believe it was a literal serpent. Amen. And I believe this literal serpent spoke. And I believe this literal serpent allowed Satan to use him. Now, the reason I believe that, because later on when God pronounced a curse, he told the serpent, he said, on your belly you're going. So he lost his limbs. Right. Yeah. Amen. I thought about that. I thought, you know, now I don't know every animal, so I may be wrong here, but I thought about, you know, every land animal that I know of has limbs, some kind. Even birds got feet. Chicken got feet. Yeah. Bugs have limbs. But the serpent doesn't. It was his curse. Now he said, "Well, I know you believe this story because it's in your Bible. Maybe I'm simple, but if the Bible says it, I just believe it. I don't care what anybody else, how they analyze it. I figure God's a lot smarter than our pea brains." Can I have an amen about that? You see, there's a lot of things that you and I may not understand, but I'll tell you what, if the Bible says it, it's true. You know, the Bible talks about a donkey talked one time. How many remember that? Balaam's donkey talked. And Balaam got so mad at it. Remember? He took his sword out and said, if I had a sword, I'd kill you. I thought, how stupid can you be if you got a talking donkey? Don't kill it. Make some money off of it. I mean, I'll show you where that guy's brain's at. I mean, my donkey talked, I wouldn't kill it. I'd take it around to the state fairs and charge admission. Make some money. But you see, and there's a lot of things we don't know about animals before the fall and how intelligent they might have been. We don't know. You know, the Bible tells us that science tells us we only use about 10 or 12% of our brain right now, and some less. It's like a friend of mine said, when you tell people, give them a piece of your mind, I wouldn't do that. You're going to need every bit of it. So what could man have been like? The way God created him in his image. You ever look at yourself in the mirror and think, God, is this the best you can do? See, the thing of it is, when God created us, we don't know what we were like. Adam named all the animals, he named everything. I mean, the intelligence that he may have had, it may just be astounding to what we have today because of the fall. Amen. You know, a lot of things that, you know, we kids can't. See, a lot of times, if you operate by your brain, if you operate by natural wisdom, sometimes some of the things that God said, you think, well, how in the world could that be? But here's the way I got this figured. If you can't do miracles, you don't get to be called God. I think that ought to be one of the requirements, right? If you're God, you ought to be able to do something man can't do. Well, I think back, you know, gosh, back in the 1960s, if somebody told me one day you're going to be watching TV on your phone, your telephone, I would have said, man, People that have wax heads should not go out in the sun for too long, because you've been out there way too long. See, it was. I mean, if you lived back then, I mean, the progress that we've made just since then, you would have thought no way, you're crazy, you're nuts. A lot of things, you know. I heard it. You know, I read this, I think, or heard it. I can't remember. But in the early 1900s, they talked about closing the U.S. Patent Office because they thought everything's been invented, has already been invented. Talk about small-mindedness. See, and so we want to measure God by our minds, what He can do. And come on, are you with me now? You see, when the Bible says that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, I just believe that. Matter of fact, to me, it takes less faith to believe that than to believe that something crawled out of the goo, went to the zoo, and became you. Because I'm thinking, if that's true, why aren't there any goo zoo people turning into me now? There ought to be some monkey somewhere who's starting to look a little bit like me. All right, I know there are a few, okay, but... But you understand what I'm talking about. We ought to be seeing some change right now. So I don't, you know. And when I was a kid, they taught us the theory of evolution. Now they teach the fact of evolution. It's funny, when in the 1960s, it was a theory. And like I told you, Brother Hagin has the best definition of theory I ever heard. A theory is a supposition established upon ignorance of the fact under discussion. A theory is a supposition established on ignorance of the subject under discussion. Thank you. A theory is a supposition established upon ignorance of the subject under discussion. In other words, if you knew what you were talking about, it would not be a theory. That means you're suppositioning, if that's a word. Hey, man, come on, are you with me now? So he said this. Now notice this. He said this, verse 1 again. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. You notice that the doubt he's trying to plant there? See, did God really say that? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, you shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. I want you to notice that. What is that? That's doubt, right? He's trying to get her to doubt what God said. For God doth know in that day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, and he did eat. Now, how many know if the devil, when the devil tempts you, he only tries to show you what he considers the good part? He doesn't show you the fruit of it, right? What if he'd have said to Eve, now eat of this tree, and one of your sons is going to kill the other son? You're going to release all kinds of murder, death, destruction on the planet. What if he'd have said that? How many believe she might have turned the other way, right? But he let, you know, this will feel good. This will taste good, right? But notice now, see, I read this first because I wanted you to see, this is the very beginning right here. We're right here in the book of Genesis. I've just discovered that the devil's number one tactic is doubt. He tries to sow doubt in your mind, my mind, about the word that God spoke. He tries to, because he knows that he's got to separate us from God, what God said. See, it's just, see, the Bible tells us don't be ignorant of his devices. Now, how many know, this is the first Adam being tempted, right? Right? How many know there was another Adam, right? Jesus, right? The last Adam. Did you ever read that? Matthew chapter 4, when he's tempted, the devil said, if thou be. If you're the Son of God. Twice he said it. If you be the Son of God. If you're the Son of God. What is it? Doubt. Trying to sow doubt in Jesus' mind
who he is. Amen. So he's a doubt sower, right? See, John chapter 8. Go there. Let's go there. John chapter 8. I want to show you this scripture. Some of this is stuff that we've probably talked about before, but, you know, we need to hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it again. You know, it's like Brother Osteen, John Osteen, who was my pastor, Dr. Mark T. Barclay's pastor, he said, there's only, I forget what he said, son, there's only like maybe 8 or 10 really good sermons. He said, that's all you'll ever have. He said, just learn to preach them different every time. Move the scriptures around. Pretty wise, amen. In other words, you know, God wants us to get it, amen? And so he says it over and over and over again, right? I mean, you ever read Psalm 136? How many ever read Psalm 136? Did you know every verse in there says, his mercy endureth forever? You think, well, couldn't you just say it once, God, I would have got it? No, no. How many know you can't do your kids that way, right? Right? You got to repeat it, right? So some of the things we may say this morning may be repeating, but we need to hear it again. Amen? Now, John chapter 8, verse 44 says, Jesus said this to the Jews of his day. He said, you're of your father, the devil. That always makes them happy. How many know that? And your lust, the lust of your father, the desires of your father, you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. Get that? There's no truth in him. It's not in him, see. When he speaks. Now, I want to stop right there just for a moment. We're going to read the rest of this verse. But I wanted you to notice that it says when he speaks. Everybody say when he speaks. So he does speak, right? All right. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. So the devil does speak. But when he speaks, it's a lie. It's a lie. Every time he speaks, it's a lie. All right? Now, I'm saying this for a reason because you need to understand, you know, we go back and in the Garden of Eden, the devil spoke through the serpent and he said, hath God said? Then in the temptation with Jesus, the devil literally appeared to Jesus and he said, if thou be. But now with you and I, it's not necessarily that way, but he speaks through thoughts. He speaks through ideas. Suggestions. Circumstances. See, just like some of the things that are taught today in our society, you know, that are taught for truth that don't line up with the Word, that's the voice of the devil. Well, I know the Bible says this, but it's amazing how many people fall for that. But we're not going to fall for that, right? Now, you know, there's even church people fall for this. Are you with me now? So we need to not just fall for his speaking. In other words, he sows doubt. That's how he gets it into you, by speaking thoughts and suggestions and ideas. You know, you're never going to make it. You know what I'm saying? You're gonna fail. It's like I heard one minister say one time. He said, if somebody he knew, he said that the devil just kept putting this thought in this person's mind. I'm gonna kill you. That's what the devil said to this person. I'm gonna kill you. It might have been another minister. And the devil just kept putting that thought in his mind. I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna kill you. He kept hearing that over a long period of time. He would hear, I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna kill you. The devil, I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna kill you. You know what he's trying to get you to do? Accept that as truth. This guy said, you know, it dawned on me one day when I heard that, again, I'm going to kill you. He thought, wait a minute, devil. If you were going to kill me, you'd already done it. No, excuse me. He said, if you could kill me, is what he said. If you could kill me, you'd already done it. You wouldn't just talk about it. But what he tries to do is get us to accept. Come on, are you with me now? He tries to get us to accept that thought and cast doubt on the Word of God. Amen. This disease is going to kill you. This is unto death. This is for the glory of God. Well, if you accept that, then he's able to bring that to pass in your life. But if you recognize that as the doubt sower, man, he's just trying to sow doubt in my mind and get me to accept what he's saying. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Are you with me now? See, you know, sometimes the devil will tell you things that, you know, that are contrary to the word of God. You got to learn that that's the doubt sower. Amen. You know, like I heard Brother Hagin say this years ago. I never forgot this story. It's a good story. He said, you know, it was a minister that was dying, you know, or had something wrong with him, and he was going to die. And Brother Hagin went to pray for him, and the guy said, well, it won't do any good, Brother Hagin. He said, well, why not? He said, well, he said, the other night, he said, I have a supernatural experience, and he said, there was a being that showed up in a robe and sandals. Jesus showed up, robe and sandals. And he told me, it's not my will to heal you. Now, you know, just because somebody shows up in robe and sandals doesn't make them Jesus, right? During the hippie days, we had robes and sandals, man, and long hair, all right? We weren't Jesus, but this guy accepted this as Jesus. This had to be Jesus because it was supernatural. How many know everything that's supernatural is not necessarily God? And so he said to Brother Hagin said to this man, he said, well, let me ask you this. He said, you asked me to pray and believe with you for your brother to get saved, didn't you? He said, yes. He said, what if a being showed up and told your brother it's not God's will to save him? What would you say? The guy said, I'd immediately know that's the devil. Well, he got it. Brother Hagin prayed for him and he got healed. I don't know who he saw or what he saw, but it wasn't Jesus. Right? See, the voice of doubt is never the voice of God. It's always the voice of the devil. You got to learn that. And so, yeah, but, you know, some of these people that say that, you know, well, the Bible missed it here and it's not right here. You know, there's even theologians that say, well, you know, Jesus didn't really rise from the dead. I mean, you know, come on. I mean, you don't really believe that, do you? Yes, I do believe that. Once again, if you can't do miracles, I don't think you should get the title God. If you can't do things I don't understand, I don't think you should get the title of God. If I can figure you out, I don't think you should get the title of God. Right. I'm looking around this room and I can't see anybody. I respect y'all. I love y'all. Somebody, I think you're just wonderful people. Well, all of you, I think you're wonderful people. But, you know, a couple of you I think are really good. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I look around this room, I'm teasing with you, but how many I look around this room, I don't see any of us here, including myself, that should get the title of God. Right? Some of you may be smarter than I am, but I don't think you're that much smarter. Right? So I just figure if God said it, it's true. Amen. Amen. If God comes in and he says this is Friday, then I don't care what we think it's Friday. We missed it somehow. Amen. Because he's right. So the devil always tries to throw doubt on what he says. Now, let's go over to Mark chapter 4. You don't mind if we look at some scripture this morning, do you? Mark chapter 4. Let's go there. And we'll use our Bible a little bit today. Mark chapter 4. And let's talk about this because I really believe the Lord's after something in this series. He's going to help us just to get our feet back on solid ground if they need to be. Amen? How many ever had your face shaken before? Come on. Anybody? Sure. Everybody has. And that's just part of walking by faith, man, growing. See, sometimes, you know, the devil hits you with something and it shakes you, but you don't quit, right? You keep on coming, amen. Mark chapter 4, the Bible says this, verse 14. It said, the sower sows the word. How many of the words? The word of God. Yes. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, a couple things here. Number one, if the devil comes immediately, he must really be afraid of it. He must really believe the word's the answer to your problem. If he's coming after it immediately, he's not going to mess around, see? He's going to come immediately to try to get that out. Now, the King James, or your Bible, the New King James, or other translations say, and takes away the word. here's the thing that I discovered about this phrase, takes away. You can look it up yourself. If you have a good Greek concordance, you'll find out that one of the meanings of the word take away means to make to doubt. Now, it just makes sense. If you believed it, you wouldn't let him have it. So you got that? So he's got to get you to doubt it to turn loose of it. Whether you doubt, you could doubt in different ways. You could doubt that that's really the Word of God, or maybe you believe it's the Word of God, but you doubt it would work for you. So anyway, doubt's involved. So you look the word up in the Greek, and I can't give you the Greek word right now. I don't remember. But you look at the word, and it means make to doubt. In other words, he sows doubt to try to get you to give it up. Amen. Now, verse 16, let's read on. And verse 16 says, "These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they've heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness." So they're happy about the word. They're glad about the word. "And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction," or you could say tribulation or trouble, "our persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended." Now here's what I see out of this, and this is what I want to talk about for a little while this morning, is this. He said there's a group of people that they receive the word. They receive it. But and they stick with it for a time, for a short period. But afterward, when affliction or trouble or persecution or tribulation comes, immediately, and how many know it comes for the word's sake, right? Immediately they're offended. They stumble or they give up on it. See, so here's what I see. All right. Sometimes, Lord, let them get this. Sometimes the thing that makes people enter into doubt and allows the devil to sow doubt seeds in their heart is what I call temporary setbacks. Now, listen to me. If you've lived this faith life for very long, you have to know and you have to admit there are times we face temporary setbacks. You know, everybody now listen to the word temporary. You decide whether it's permanent.
That's right.
Now listen now. See, that's what this verse is implying. When tribulation comes for the word's sake, what's happened? Well, it's a setback. Everybody's going to face a setback. What's a setback? Well, I'm going to tell you something. What a setback is? A setback is this. A setback is when things are happening to you contrary to what you are believing. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
You see, Jesus warned us this was going to happen. Jesus told us, in the world you're going to have, what are you going to have? Well, what did he say? So y'all know that verse real, right? Be of good cheer, right? I've overcome it. All right. So in the world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome it. Now, think about this. See, sometimes we don't think things through and we don't really see, you know, like I'll come back to this verse, but just to illustrate, sometimes we don't think about things, what's said thoroughly. You know, I remember getting a prophecy back in the 80s, and the man of God said to me, and I don't remember it word for word, but the essence of it is you're going to win the battle. You're going to come out victorious. Well, I left excited and shouting. And then somewhere along the way, it hit me. Wait a minute. He said battle. I don't want battle. I just want to win. Come on, let me feel that way. I don't want a battle. I just want, you know, just raise my hand. I don't want to have to go through all the training and all the suffering. I want to win. Amen. You know, I just want to be heavyweight champion of the world. I don't go out and run at 6 in the morning. I don't want to do all that. I didn't sign up for this. I just signed up for the money. How many know it didn't work that way, right? So, when Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome it. What does be of good cheer mean? What's one of the things it mean? Brighten up. Come on, what's some other things it means? Brighten up's a good one. Be happy. Keep your joy. Somebody said be positive. These are all good words. All right. Why would he tell you that if your situation was going to get resolved overnight? Come on, are you with me? I mean, if someone says, you know, I know you, Pastor, you got a financial need. I'm on my way, you know, to the church. I'm about 15 minutes away. I've got the money to bring to you. Just hold on. Don't give up. Well, that's dumb. I'm not going to give up. There's not enough time to give up. But if I'm going to have to go through some struggle, if I'm going to have to go through some testing, if I'm going to have some situations in my life that are contrary to what I'm believing for, if I'm going to have some temporary setbacks, then I need some cheering up. Right? Amen? Come on. There's some places that you go to eat, you don't have time to get like frustrated waiting for your meal. I remember years ago, it was a dumb thing. I've told you this before, but McDonald's installed a 30-second clock. Anybody ever heard this story before? She's the reason they took it out. How many remember that? Remember that? I mean, you put your order in. There was a 30-second. You got your meal in 30 seconds. Did you ever kind of ask yourself, what kind of a meal am I getting that takes 30 seconds? You know. And Miss Phyllis would watch that clock, and if it'd get to 31 or 32, say something to him. You know, because you got your meal free. You know, it's like, right. So there's not much time, right? But have you ever been in a restaurant and you wait, and you wait, and you wait? Your patience can get tested, can't it? Isn't that right? See, anybody can walk in love in an environment like this. It's when you get out there with people that are contrary. Amen? You get in real life, right? See that sometimes you know, God watches us. He doesn't just watch us what we do in church, right? You know, I don't think he's impressed with our hallelujah, glory to God, and we get out that door and we don't have that any longer. I don't think he's impressed with that. I think he's impressed with people that even in the midst of trouble, come on now, they still shout the praises of God. Even in the midst of the fire, they still sing, praise God. See, sometimes there's going to be temporary setbacks. They're going to come, praise God. Not praise God, but they're going to come. You might as well praise God in the midst of them, but not praise God for it. You understand? But they're going to come, right? They're going to come. And it's in those times where the devil begins to sow doubt. My gosh, you believe the Bible for healing, and here you are sick. My gosh, you believe the Bible about meeting your needs, and here you are in financial trouble. Did not Jesus warn us that would happen? Didn't that just happen right here in Mark? They were excited about the word, but when pressure got put on them, they gave up. They doubted it. I thought this worked. It does. But what you got to do is you got to stick with it. And you got to take that word you shouted about, and you got to beat the devil's living brains out with it. Amen. Somebody's going to win, you or him. It's up to you to decide who that's going to be. Amen. Brother Hagin said one time, you know, he's praying, had a healing line, the guy died. In the healing line. That's encouraging. Brother Hagin said, we just stretched him out on the platform and kept praying for people. We all got quiet on that one. What do you want him to do, you know? Ain't going to let this stop the service. People are dying all the time. That's not an unusual event. So, you know, see, you got to be tough like that. Come on, are you with me? You know, listen, you got to be tough like that. You got to be tough where that stuff doesn't faze you. I mean, you know, sorry the guy died, but, you know, hey, next. Anybody else want to come up? Like I read about Wigglesworth one time, occasionally he'd punch people in the healing line. He said, well, I don't, Jesus never used, a lady told Phyllis and I this one time, she said, Jesus never used violence. Remember that? Jesus never used violence. I said, well, he spit on a person once. I said, I'd rather get hit and spit on. But anyway. But, you know, Wigglesworth said, well, I'm not hitting him, I'm hitting the devil, you know. Well, if you get healed, how many know you? I'm okay with it, you know. All right. If I don't get healed, then you know. I think it was Pastor Stormont told this story. He said there was a little old English lady got in the healing line one morning, and Wigglesworth prayed for her, and he kind of hit her a little bit. She goes, is that the way it is? And hit him back. She came back to the afternoon service. He says, may I say something? He said, yes. She said, I want to apologize for hitting the man of God. She said, I went home and found I was totally healed. I don't know why God had him do that. Not very many people do that, thank God. And don't try to be Wigglesworth or you're going to get beat up. But he would do that. And they said one time, you know, he was doing out in the healing line where he'd pop people a little bit, you know, hit them a little bit. And they would get healed. And this person came up there, you know, and, you know, they'd like, what's wrong with you? Nothing, you know. I'm fine. Well, how many understand, you and I, we got to be tough on the inside. Amen? And we got to understand, yeah, we're going to face some bumps in a row. We're going to face some temporary setbacks. Amen? What did Paul say? He said, our light affliction, which is but for a moment. I like the Message Bible there. It says small potatoes. Small potatoes. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding eternal way to glory. Now notice this. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. See, the things of God. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. See, the things we face in life are just temporary when we're standing on the Word. We're the ones that can make them like last forever when we choose to let that doubt get sowed in us. Like I thought by His stripes I'm healed. Why am I throwing up? You're under attack. And Jesus said you would be. Didn't He? He warned us. He also told us what to do. Be a good cheer. I've overcome it. That means you're an overcomer because you're in me. You'll beat it. Just keep fighting it with the Word of God. Amen? Come on, are you getting anything today? See, have you ever read in the Bible, James, the trial of your faith? How many ever read that? The trial of your faith. Come on, have you ever read that, James chapter 1? Knowing that the trial of your faith works patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, lacking nothing. The trial of your faith. Everybody say, the trial of my faith. One day, I don't know, maybe you catch stuff quicker than I do, but it took me a while. One day, after years of reading it, it dawned on me, wait a minute, the trial of my faith? I must have faith. If the devil's messing, he must believe that I have the faith, or he'd leave me alone. Right? Now, I mean, you know, some three-year-old came up here after the service and said, Pastor, I'm going to dismantle you. I'm going to take you apart. I'm going to chew you up and spit you out and feed you to the dogs. I'm not that old yet, pal. All right? I'm going to take it serious. What if a 30-year-old lost? That's serious. I'm going to say, Brian, come on. Brian's undefeated. Amen. He's the only 50-year-old undefeated boxer I know. Amen. Now, how many understand, see, you have to learn that we're all going to face things that are contrary to our faith. And that's where the devil tries to sow that doubt, those temporary setbacks. Temporary setbacks. I faced them financially. I faced them physically. I faced them spiritually. I faced these setbacks. But I got news for you. You just keep on. You know, you just keep on, because if the devil's trying your faith, it means you got faith. What does patience mean? Just stick with your faith. Just stick with the word, and you're going to come out on the other side. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. See, do you remember the story? See, the devil tries to magnify things, you know. He tries to magnify things. Like, especially if other people have failed, you know, he'll say, well, look at them. They didn't make it. What makes you think you're any better than them? Well, you're not any better than them, but your God is big. You remember the story where Jesus come down off the mountain and he saw all that group of people talking to his disciples, and he went up to him and said, what do you question with my disciples? And this man steps out and he says, well, Master, I brought to your disciples my son, who had, you know, had a demon, and they couldn't cast him out. And Jesus said, oh, you faithless generation, bring him to me. And then he begins to, when they brought the child to Jesus, that demon began to manifest and began to tear the child and convulse the child. And Jesus said, well, how long ago did this start happening to him? He said, of a child. It's been happening since he's a child. And the man said, Lord, if you can do anything, help. So he threw the responsibility in Jesus' lap. Jesus tossed it right back on him. He said, if you can believe, it's not a matter what I can do. I can do it. But can you believe it? If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. I like what the man said, his honesty. He said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. How'd that happen? Well, see, he saw failure. He saw the disciples fail, didn't he? Did you know sometimes Jesus' disciples still fail? Hello. We all do, right? But Jesus never fails. He got the job done. That's why your focus has to be on him and not on people. Because people are people. Amen. People fail, right? People blow it sometimes. People, they don't get the job done sometimes. I mean, if I pray for you, I guess healing doesn't work. I didn't get healed. Well, why don't you just don't look to me. Look to Jesus. Amen. So, you know, just because... You know, just because something didn't happen doesn't mean Jesus failed. Amen. And that's why this man said, help my unbelief, because, you know, he'd seen failure on the part of Jesus' disciples, and it caused unbelief and doubt. He let unbelief and doubt get in, but Jesus said, bring him to me, bring him to me. He got him delivered. Let's close by one last scripture. You get something today? Yes. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, we're going to talk about this maybe Wednesday night, we'll see. We'll continue talking about doubt. We're talking about the doubt sower this morning. Hebrews chapter 11. Go to one verse there. This is it for today. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. You got it? The Bible says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, you know, without faith, it doesn't say God doesn't love you, but it's impossible to please him without faith. Now, why? Well, one thing is, number one, one reason is God can't bless you apart from faith. And he wants to bless you. See, he wants to be a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So Satan sows doubt. Come on, you can see this from the scriptures we read from the beginning. The first thing he did in the Garden of Eden was try to sow doubt. When the second Adam came along, the last Adam, Jesus Christ, he tried to sow doubt into him. He tries to sow doubt into us, to separate us from God, to get us where we don't believe his word. And it's because it's impossible to please God without faith. And the devil knows this. And he knows if he can sow doubt in us, he can separate us from God. He can separate us from his provision. He can separate us from what he wants to do in our life. You don't think he's behind some of the circumstances that happen in your life? Absolutely, the devil's behind it. He's behind it. What's his purpose? To sow doubt in your life. To get you to doubt the word. Hallelujah. But the word works. God's word is truth. Hallelujah. I believe it. You know, listen, there's some pretty outstanding miracles in the Bible. Have you ever read in the Bible where the axe head fell in the water? You know, the guy borrowed the axe head fell in the water? All right. And the prophet comes along and he, you know, by the word of the Lord, throws a stick in the water. I was preaching on that one. I'll never forget this lady one night. I was just preaching along on that. And I said, she answered my question better than I could have. I said, you know what happens if you throw a stick in the water and the Lord didn't tell you to throw the stick in the water? She said, yeah, you get sticky water. Yeah. Why didn't I think of that? I mean, if the Lord didn't tell you, nothing happens, right? You just got a stick in the water. But the Bible said he threw a stick in the water and the axe head swam. Axe heads don't swim. They do when God gets a hold of them. Amen. Axe heads don't swim. My brother-in-law never blessed me with money. He would when God gets a hold of him. See, I felt doubt out of that one. How many know when God gets involved, it changes everything? Is that right? You see, God can do things. See, this is why, this would go back to the beginning. Even the church has tried to explain away the supernatural in the Word of God. Some of the church. But I want to tell you something, folks. Christianity and the supernatural cannot be separated. It was founded on the supernatural. Its leader is supernatural. And his followers, he told them to be supernatural. You cannot separate it. So I have no problem with in the beginning God said and there was. How old is the earth, Pastor? It's as old as it needs to be. It's as old as God says it is. Are you with me now? How old does God say it is? Well, read your Bible and find out. There's answers in there. You don't really believe in Noah's flood, do you? Yeah. Well, now how did he get all those animals to get on that boat? It's called God. I figure if God created them, he can move them. Isn't that right? Well, you surely don't believe that one in the Bible, you know. You can't believe that one in the Bible about Lazarus being raised from the dead, do you? Yeah. And I'll tell you what, the people today did because they wanted to kill Lazarus and Jesus over it. Well, you surely don't believe all those miracles in the Bible, do you? Yeah, I believe every one of them. Amen. Amen. I mean, you don't believe that angels are really, literally, you know, here on this earth, do you? Yeah, I believe all of it. Can you prove it? Yeah, it's called the Word of God. It's called faith. Amen. Hallelujah. I just believe it because God said it. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to keep believing what he said. That's worked in my life for almost 40 years now, and it's brought blessing to me. I just believe what he said. I don't care what anybody else says about it. If he said it, that's the way it is. You say, that may be simple. That's simple. I know that, but praise God, it works for me. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And so if the Bible says it, I just believe it. I don't care what the world says about it. I don't care if they say it couldn't happen. Amen. I believe I believe that when Joshua said, you know, moon stand still, sun stand still, I believe it happened. You surely don't believe that. Yeah, I believe that. Boy, are you gullible. Yeah, I am. Just gullible enough to believe anything the Bible says. Hallelujah. Listen to me. There are even people today, even in the church, I'm closing right here, but even preachers, maybe some of them you see on TV, that will get up and tell you that, you can't accept that at face value, and that part of the Bible is not for us. There are preachers getting up today and saying, you know, the red letters, they're not for us. The things that the head of the church, Jesus said, they're not for the church. Sorry. I'm going to stick with this. Where Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to stick with what he said, not what they say. Amen. There's even preachers I used to listen to are now saying, well, some of the teachings of Jesus, I don't listen to them now, but years ago they were on track. But now they're saying some of the teachings of Jesus are too hard. So we're even teaching now that, you know, 1 John, if we confess our sins, you don't have to confess your sin. You know, it's not only blasphemy, it's just plain out rude. Just think about this. If I get ready to leave today, this isn't going to happen, praise the Lord. But if I get ready to leave and, you know, I back into Dustin's van, just cream it, him and Jill's, and just... And the first thing I say is, you got to forgive me. I mean, that's just rude. The first thing I should say, hey, man, I'm sorry. I smashed your van. I'll fix it. I'll pay for it. Bring it over to my garage. I'll beat that out of there. We'll go to Home Depot and get some spray paint. Fix that thing. Praise God. I got to take responsibility, right? See. But yeah, we got these brats running around the kingdom of God. You don't have to repent anymore. You repented once. So you haven't missed it since you got saved? You know, my dad would have known what to do with you. They used to call, called woodsheds. You know what that was? That's a shed with wood in it. Deep, isn't it? You figure out what went on when you got drugged there, all right? Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.